For WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. Dr. Matt Bush is a faculty member in the Department of Ear, Nose, and Throat Surgery at UK Healthcare. Matt, you and I were talking recently about cochlear implants. Can you tell me a little bit about those, what they are, and why they're important for our patients?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Greg, for the opportunity to talk with you and the listeners today. Cochlear implants are a relatively new medical device that exists to be able to improve hearing for those that experience hearing loss. This type of hearing loss that is well treated with cochlear implants is a type of an inner ear, also known as a sensory neural hearing loss. And this type of hearing loss is relatively irreversible in our general understanding of this type of hearing loss. Many patients with hearing loss are treated with hearing aids, but certainly hearing aids have limitations, and when patients reach a certain point of their hearing loss, hearing aids don't provide any benefit, and that's where cochlear implants come onto the scene and can be beneficial.
And what sort of age groups can benefit from this particular surgery, Matt?
Well, really, cochlear implants have, when they initially came on the market in the early 80s, they were only approved for adults, but as we have seen how they have been beneficial for a wide variety of patients from different backgrounds and different types of medical conditions and hearing loss, those indications have expanded. So basically, these cochlear implants are approved for children as young as 12 months of age, according to the FDA, and there really isn't a limit as far as the oldest patient. I think the oldest patient that we're aware of that's been implanted with a cochlear implant is, I believe, in their 90s.
So the sensory neural loss that you're talking about, this is something that could be potentially congenital, something that a baby is born with, up to and including something that people middle age and the elderly might have.
Absolutely. The cochlear implant audience is really a very diverse group of patients. And this does include, like you mentioned, children that are born with hearing loss, as well as those that may have been exposed to certain types of toxins or medications or trauma and lost their hearing. We see patients that have this type of inner ear hearing loss as a result of meningitis. Also, just noise-induced hearing loss that occurs in the workplace and in industrial environments as well.
I was going to say, for those of us that grew up in the 60s and 70s, I would think a common source of hearing loss might be music, that type of thing over the years.
This is very true. Certainly music exposure, going to some of those loud concerts in the maybe 60s, 70s, and 80s were a traumatic source of hearing loss in some patients. But really for the next generation, it's the iPods and the other MP3 players with headphones that can be a real risk factor to progressive hearing loss over time if the volume is at an unsafe level.
You know, I've actually spoken before with one of your colleagues in the past, Matt, about that particular issue. When I come to the studio here to engage in these chats, I walk across campus, and it amazes me how sometimes from many feet away I can hear the music that a young student is listening to on her iPod or even through earphones, and I'm always figuring that has to be doing something.
Well, it's true. It's surprising that all the things that we do in an entertainment industry and for all the in all good fun, sometimes we don't realize some of the consequences. And certainly, listening to our favorite music at an unsafe level can have consequences later in life. And immediate onset hearing loss would be uncommon after this type of noise exposure from headphones, but it's that continual usage over years and things like that. Or other, like I mentioned before, other industrial exposures or things in the workplace can certainly cause one's hearing to gradually and slowly decline over time.
I'm speaking with Dr. Matt Bush, a faculty member at UK's Department of Ear, Nose, and Throat Surgery. And Matt, I know medical instruments and equipment are constantly being evaluated and improved upon, and you'd mentioned that these cochlear implants have been around since the 80s. Are there new generations down the road, perhaps smaller devices or more easily inserted devices?
There are certainly incredible advances that have been made over time that are just mind-boggling to see the ways that we're able to improve hearing from those that may be listeners and that have had analog hearing aids or maybe hearing aids that they wore in a shirt pocket or things like that that were quite bulky and difficult to deal with. Things have dramatically changed now with digital hearing aids that improve hearing. The disadvantage of hearing aids is that hearing aids really only are like a volume switch. They just turn the volume up to try to help you to hear better, but we really depend on the inner ear and the brain's ability to understand and decode the sound that we're listening to make sense of it. The problem with sensory neural hearing loss in the inner ear is that that decoding ability is lost. So patients will often complain that I can hear things, but I don't understand things. And that's where really cochlear implants come into play, is that cochlear implants improve word understanding and discrimination ability of sound, as well as increasing the volume. And implants are getting smaller and smaller. They're getting waterproof. They're more patient-friendly and easier to manage. And there was just recently approved a really, really small external part of the cochlear implant that really could be disguised very, very easily.
Well, Dr. Matt Bush, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you for this opportunity.
For WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.